Blog Talk Radio.
I'm calling just to make sure.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Say something.
Hey, it's me. It's
all good.
Me.
All good. So Noah said she does not want to mention that she's going to be gone for a month on air, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hello.
Hello.
On Saturday, I had the awkward experience again of starting my therapy Zoom and forgetting to turn off my background that was you with your Cheetos up your nose, Rob. And my therapist was very confused.
He was like, I know all the source of all your problems.
Yeah.
I have to try not to move. Can you hear the creaking?
A little. It's not that bad.
It's fine.
Like that?
It's fine.
It's okay.
Because I'm in my secret room today, which is my closet. So I'm sitting like in the vanity, in the... what is it? Armoire or whatever the fuck this thing is called.
You're sitting in an armoire?
It's not an, because it's in a dresser. I'm sitting in a dresser.
Okay.
I'm sure it has a fancier name, you know?
Turn the background off for a second. Let's see what you got.
Choose virtual background. Okay, my room. There's my Dave Hill dress. And this
you got one of those?
Oh, how's the quality? Good quality?
Nice. It is kind of not very good for Arizona, like hot Arizona weather, but it's good for evening. But it's nice. I love it. I like the new one, though, the orange one. I wish I ordered that one. Should have waited.
Reach out. He should send you a freebie.
Oh, I don't want to ask him for a freebie. He's probably, like, trying to make money.
So your hiatus officially starts as of, like, tomorrow?
Yeah, but, you know, if you need anything, it's not...
Well, because we're doing the Patreon episode Friday morning. You're not going to be around for that, right?
At 11, right?
Yeah.
I won't be able to do it. My dad is coming to town on Thursday, so I kind of just want to spend the day with him.
No, totally understood. So for June, should we loop you in on when we're doing Patreon episodes in case you could be around for that, or just assume you can't?
I mean, I don't mind knowing when you do it, and I'll let you know if
okay.
I can or not.
Okay. One more favor, if you could just this week email me like a step-by-step like thing of what filters to run on the episode.
An audio? Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah. Just so I have like a checklist I can go through, because it's just something to reference, so I don't have to bother you.
Oh, you wouldn't be bothering me, but yeah, that's fine. Oh, it's so hot in here.
Just take it off. All right. Darren said we could start.
Okay, cool.
What a mess.
And Aaron is joining us right at the top.
Yeah, like I said 7:10, so we'll have enough time to just do the intros.
Perfect, perfect.
Okay.
Okay, let me get my sheet up.
Okay. All right. Oh, let me get my bland.
Yes, you can see it.
Okay, here we go.
This meeting is being recorded.
Oh, yeah, that happens now, by the way.
Wow. That's new.
I guess because too many people were secretly recorded?
Yikes.
Or they just didn't see like the prompts. I guess that's good. It's a good security measure.
It's a new blog talk lady.
Chelsea Landington.
All right. Going live in 3, 2, go.
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Looks like our old pal, David L. Epson, is out of work. Perhaps Dave would like to apply for my job. He has a nice deep voice. And we have many listeners who just turned 18. Seems like a match made in heaven. The Metal Injection Livecast starts now.
Chuck, starting off the episode a little blue. Welcome to the Metal Injection Livecast. It's Rob. Here with Sid and Noah. Darren will be joining us in a few moments. And we also have somebody else joining us in a few moments. Somebody you might have heard of previously. We have Aaron Beam, the frontman of Red Fang, hanging out with us tonight. I'm so excited. I love Red Fang. I'm excited that Red Fang have a new album coming out.
Can we call them Red Fangola?
Red Fangola. Yes.
Proud Jewish mother.
We'll definitely bring that up to him. And and thank you for tuning in. We are live. It is Tuesday, May 25th. We're right around the corner from Memorial Day. I always confuse Memorial Day and Labor Day, but it's Memorial Day this weekend. And thank you for tuning in. And if you are listening live and you want to talk to Aaron or us, you can give us a call. 213-WIDENUT is the number. That's 213-943-3688. And we also have
Rob,
a chat
when they
going.
Give us a when they give us a call, do they have to make their nuts wide?
Well,
your
some
nuts,
of them don't have nuts.
Well, for the ones that do, they
for
have
the ones that do, their nuts immediately get wider when they hear that chime of like, "Thank you for dialing in." It's like boom, nuts widening. We have Aaron. He'll be on in just a few moments. And before we get Aaron on, I do want to mention to our loyal list of listeners, of course, all of our episodes are available to listen to on all streaming platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play Store, etc. You can listen to all 621 episodes. It's crazy that there's 621 of them. But if you want just a little more, 600, you're like, 621 episodes, done. What else you got for me? Guess what? We do have some more for you on our Patreon if you want to support the show. Or if you're like, wow, 621 episodes, they give me all this content for free. I want to give something back to the Metal Injection Livecast. Hit up our Patreon. Patreon.com/Metal Injection Livecast. I said that like the movie phone guy. But for $5 a month, you get access to at least 2 bonus episodes a month that we've been doing. And you get video versions of our episodes for the last year or so. You have access to video versions of the episodes. And that's really fun because you get to see a little extra. You see what we look like. You see our reactions when another cast member tries to make a joke and fails miserably. That's always fun.
Like to see someone do like statistics, like isolate each one of our boxes and see who's the best at laughing at the other person's jokes and who's the worst at it.
Yeah.
Also, like who's the best seller and who's the worst seller?
My box has been isolated for a very long time, Sid.
I think that I noticed that I yawn the most. So I would win the award for most yawning.
Which is weird because it's the earliest where you are. You should be more awake than us, not sleepier than us.
Shit is a very dirty word, Sid.
This is me winning the who sells the best. Right here, with that laugh.
And so this month's episode we did at the top of the month, we did in celebration of Mother's Day, we did a live cast Meme Hall of Fame episode on the Queen of Vagina. We also included Vagina and Handicap and Perp Walk for their Havana song. And we went back to 3 classic live cast memes and revisited them, learned a little, laughed a lot, and cringed a little bit at certain things, for sure. And then our mid-month episode, it was a very, very fun discussion. It was about Beyond the Mat, an excellent documentary about pro wrestling in 1999. We all watched the movie separately and then came together to review it.
And then like 2 days after we recorded that, New Jack died. So the live cast
yes.
first in full effect.
Yes, one of the stars of the documentary yep. sadly passed of a heart attack. Aww. So RIP a legend there.
Yeah.
Very sad. And so that's our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. And that's it.
What accent was, is that Borat or a vampire? What was that?
That's Borat if you got bitten by a vampire. Oh, my wife.
You're something else.
Oh, thank you.
That was an example of Rob's brain glitching, as you see many times. And please isolate those boxes
yeah.
when you do, if you're going to go ahead and do it.
Yeah, my glitches get worse as the episode goes on, I think. And before Aaron gets on, one thing I quickly want to mention is something funny that it's sometimes funny to me when rock fans and metal fans, the things they get upset about, or certain metal fans get upset about. And on Sunday night, I was, scrolling Twitter before bed, as one does, and I saw the Billboard Music Awards were on. The Billboard, the Twitter account for the publication, was doing live updates. So for every award, they would send out a tweet, and the winner of the best rock art, the top rock artist at the Billboard Music Awards is Machine Gun Kelly.
Mm.
And then I just saw immediately the thing was ratioed by people being like, what? He's barely, he puts out one punk. To be fair, he did put out a pop punk record with Travis Barker this past year. So,
and this isn't like voting on who we think is the best. This is purely based on sales, right? Or no?
Oh, that's a good point. I think it's voting though.
Huh.
I think it's fan voting. But either way, I just thought it was funny. It's like, who cares? Like, this is like the one time anyone's talking about Billboard in the rock world,
Right. And also like we're in metal, not rock, right? Like,
metal is a sub genre of rock, but I hear what you're saying. Like the other nominees were AC/DC, Five Finger Death Punch. It's like, slim pickings here.
You know what? Machine Gun Kelly won even before the Billboard because he is dating and fucking Megan Fox.
Yes, and she looked amazing at that award show. Look up how she looked.
Not for me.
Not a Megan Fox kind of guy?
She just looks not like a human.
Oh, my God.
She's attractive, but, like, not, like I don't think I'd even be able to talk to her. Like, she just
so
looks
beautiful.
Like she just, like, floats above people, and I don't know. It just seems very alienating to me in that she seems like an alien.
Well, let's alienate our guest. We have him coming on. And we have Darren signing.
Yeah, everybody's here.
Woohoo!
So let's bring them on. We have Aaron Beam of Red Fang. So excited to talk to Aaron. So glad Red Fang is back partying. Their new album comes out June 4th. It's called Arrows. Aaron, thanks for hanging out with us.
Hey, it's good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking the time. Where in the world are you calling us from?
I am in the basement of my house in Tacoma, Washington.
Mm-hmm. And what's the address and zip code?
Social Security number.
Correct.
Last four of your
credit
card.
Code.
Yeah.
Need to know.
No, but it's very exciting. Things are opening back up. There's light at the end of the tunnel, and you guys are coming in hot at just the right, like when people are ready to not only hear new music but see new music. Is this an exciting time to be putting out an album?
Absolutely, and it's I think it's pretty funny that none of the conspiracy theorists about COVID have caught on who was really behind it all. which is us.
You?
Yeah, it's our band. But no, in I'm actually not telling the truth. We aren't behind it.
Oh.
And I don't think it's a conspiracy.
Rob already put a headline out. It's too late.
Yeah,
it's already on metalinjection.com.
All right.
Just what somebody was behind it would say, too.
Exactly. That's true. But isn't that the way all conspiracy theories work, is that anything that you say against them helps contribute to their proof somehow?
Correct.
But yeah, that I guess what's, you know, we did have this record ready end of December 2019. So we just have been sitting on it since then and really actually waiting for the right moment to put it out, because we're the type of band that the records support our tours, you know, and we're not going to put a record out and then have it be on the shelves for a year and a half and then try to tour after everybody's forgotten about it. So we did kind of have to roll the dice a little bit. We just kind of, you know, we've been watching the numbers go up and down over the last year and a half. And I guess, you know, we got kind of lucky and got very lucky with being able to actually book some shows, because I thought all the rooms were going to be completely occupied, you know, no venues available, but we lucked out.
So when was the album originally kind of planned to be released? Was there like an original target date?
Yes. My son's birthday, May 29th of 2020. And we had all the records already pressed and everything was completely ready to go by the end of March. So in a way that's actually good, because it means that we weren't scrambling to get records pressed. Like I think a lot of people have been. So we beat that, I guess.
Was there temptation to like, well, we have all this time. Maybe we'd need to redo the solo on this one track. Let's go back. Or no, just left it alone.
Well, it was like physically pressed already. Mm. So there was that temptation, but you know, it's not possible. And you know, and anything's possible, of course. I think that also there's a point at which, you know, you have to accept that this is what you did at the time, and there's a reason why it sounds like that. And if you didn't play it as well as you wanted to, that's on you.
Was it tough spending a year plus at home and like not having any touring on the horizon? Like, did it kind of ruin your patterns at all, or do you have to pick up a new hobby? How did you kill the time?
Oh yeah. My life changed pretty dramatically. So right off the bat, I don't know what it was like out where you guys are, but on the West Coast, I mean, especially up here in Washington, Oregon, it felt like maybe we're going to be stuck in our houses for 3 months straight, you know, and not even be able to leave our homes. We didn't even know. So I have a one bedroom basement apartment in Portland. But my wife up in Tacoma has like a four bedroom house, and there's a little, you can't see how cool it looks because there was a little flooding, but there's like all these sparkle lights and we have a little music studio down here. So I just moved up here and it turned out that it was, I think that we've been together about 5 years, and the longest stretch of time we'd spent together was about 3 weeks.
Wow.
And that's like uncommonly long. Normally it would be like, oh, we got a week and a half of uninterrupted time together. That's amazing. Cause she's a touring musician also, and we live in different towns.
Oh.
So I got to actually live with my wife, which has been amazing. And I got to spend a lot more time with my son. And then I also, I ended up picking up work doing the kind of same thing that I was doing right before Red Fang started touring a whole bunch 10 years ago, that I started like March 29th was my first day. And then I actually just finished on Friday. So it worked out kind of perfectly timing wise for me.
What did you do? What were you doing?
I worked in stop motion before Red Fang kind of took off. Mm-hmm. And it was a like weird path for me to even get into that world, because I basically work with spreadsheets in the stop motion world. So I helped to sort of organize and coordinate the puppet department, the build of all the puppets that go into the movies. And everybody was work from home at the end of March, particular production that's happening in Portland. And so there was no reason why I needed to be in town. So I just got to work from home. And then once everybody went back into the studio, I just kept working from home because it's all like Zoom meetings and computer stuff and whatever. So
you're a big spreadsheet guy. What's the one hot Excel tip that you want everybody to know that people are just like, more people need to know this.
What is he, Clippy?
People are going to come up to you at the merch table and start asking you to assist them with Excel sheets now.
I use Google Sheets, not Excel.
Oh, that's the hot tip.
That's the tip, Mr. Tech Guy, Rob. Okay. After he says it, you agree with him. Okay.
I'm on a Mac, and Microsoft Office on a Mac is unusable. I've been using the Mac version, which is Numbers.
I actually built a bunch of – well, I stole some spreadsheets from when we toured with Unearth back in 2011. That was – or, yeah, 2010, which is when I actually had to leave that old job. Their merch guy had all these fancy spreadsheets that I stole, and then I kind of rebuilt them for our purposes. And I've been, like, trying to help our merch TM guy, he uses a Mac also. And I'm same. It's like, this is unusable. Like it totally unusable on a Mac. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah. Even like there's like a newer
TikTok
version. They put
with
out
Red Fang.
A year
yeah,
ago. No, this is great. This is great.
Most people want to ask about like my bass strings or whatever. Well, nobody ever asks about that.
What are your influences? What bands did you like growing up?
What my influences are, there's a particular guy who has a YouTube channel on how to do little tips and tricks for Google Sheets and how to build multi-layered queries to call information from one sheet to another one.
What's tips the most used formula?
I would rather you read me a spreadsheet than hear normal metal questions that people ask.
My knowledge is not all that deep, but I know my way around a spreadsheet.
Well, you mentioned the stop motion thing, and one thing I feel like one leg up you had on other bands that were coming up around the same time you guys were is the creative direction of your music videos. You guys always had really, really good music videos, and I think it was more so the music videos than necessarily the music that kind of put you guys on the map and got people to start sharing your music. And then people were like, oh, and the music's good too. So it's like an added bonus. Was that something that the band collectively always, everyone kind of brainstormed? Was it something you kind of spearheaded? Where are the visually creative forces in the band?
We contribute a little bit once the ideas are kind of presented to us, but our buddy Whitey is entirely responsible, at least for the first several videos. His probably most famous project that he worked on before becoming super famous for doing our videos was a little television show and movie series called Jackass.
Oh, yes.
And so he kind of comes from that world, Big Brother and snowboarding and whatever. And he's just constantly got ideas. And the other three guys in the band had a band called Party Time before Red Fang. And they had been bugging Whitey for years to do a video for them because his music videos are all super good. It wasn't until we wrote that song Prehistoric Dog that he was like, aha, this will work with one of my ideas. It's all him, and we, you know, every once in a while we'll have one little suggestion for something. And that's because their music videos are idiots. That was actually, I mean, not to take credit, but I wrote that line. I'm taking credit because Whitey had written something else that we were not really comfortable saying, and so then we were like, what do we do that like still conveys the same idea, but is, you know, just more silly and funny. But the general ideas, they're from Whitey. And then, we've more recently started working with another, writer director in town called Ansel Wallenfang. And, he works for a big, ad agency called Wieden & Kennedy.
Oh,
and
Is this thing just a coincidence or?
It's pretty weird. And that was actually part of how he sold himself to us was he was like, how could you not work with me? Like, look at my name. And we're like, well, that's
how some bands like change their name. They all have like, they're like, you know, Jim Army or Fred Army. If the band is like the New Army or something. And so maybe he took on the name for you.
Maybe before we met him, his name was just like Ansel Wallen.
Dedication.
Yeah.
This is how I want to create a headline here. Will you be willing to criticize the stop motion animation in Tool Sober Video? Just to tell me if it's a pile of shit, maybe.
I haven't seen that video in a long time. I love that style of animation.
Oh, okay.
That's like Brothers K, right? Or Brothers Quay, however you say it.
Yeah. Right.
I love that stuff. That's like some of the first.
I like it.
No, I know. And also, I don't know from, you know, the quality of animation. It's just like that stuff gets way more technical than I can understand. I just know how to be like, bring part A over to person B tomorrow, please. That's all I do.
I had to give it a shot.
I wanted to show a little of this new video.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to play any because we're going to get a copyright strike.
Sure.
The audio. But this is like a high, like a fancy video. It's kind of like a Chuck E. Cheese trip gone bad.
Yes.
or gone great, actually. And, you know, this is a very high concept, and it looks expensive. And
it does.
I know the type of budgets Relapse typically has to work with. How do you convince these very talented people to work for what I assume is under their typical budget?
Yeah. Well, luckily, we don't have to do most of the convincing because I think we would probably fail. But, you know, in the case of it's the directors, the people who make the videos, they just manage to, you know, their ideas are usually inspiring enough that they can get really talented people to come and donate some time. But I think it's, you know, having worked in the stop motion world, in the puppet department in particular, it's like lots and lots of extremely talented artists, but they're doing, you know, it does get to be sort of like repetitive. Sometimes the work does. And so I think that a lot of artists, they end up doing a bunch of projects that aren't as fun for them because they need to make a living. And so I think that sometimes, I think a lot of the, you know, these ideas for the videos that Whitey and that Ansel come up with are just actually fun for artists to work on. And they're pretty short term usually. So I think that people are just more willing to be like, yeah, I'll do this for a lot cheaper than my normal rate. I think particular video, yeah, the guy who did the, you know, that head, and it like moves around. The guy who did the animatronics, I guess, normally would charge like, I don't know, a couple grand for doing one of those. And he did it for like 500. I mean, I'm totally making up numbers right now. But then Ansel was like, and then the last scene, we're going to burn the head. And the guy was like, wait. Can you please just let me make another version, a stunt version of the mask that doesn't, like, please don't burn up all of my, you know, all that animatronic stuff that I put in there. Please keep that one. So they actually built two full masks of the hero character. So even more work for free.
And so you had to shoot that video during like COVID times, right? I'm assuming this is a post-pandemic video shoot. I'm sure that must have presented challenges. Were you guys involved much with the production and the like logistics, or you're like, hey, that's your job, buddy?
No, because it was Shoestring, and it was, yeah, shot during COVID. The Arrows video we shot in February of 2020, so that was pre-lockdown at least. But this video, yeah, was shot recently, and a number of people had been, you know, people were getting tested and were wearing masks, but because it was Shoestring, like, Brian was running lights, you know, during those scenes in the restaurant. And John Plate was the drummer in some of those parts and like did some of the work. So it was like us, and we're trying to just, everybody had to be careful and had to be either vaccinated or, you know, like masks on until a shot where the, you see their face or whatever. Actually, it's my kid's uncle and his family are actually in one of the shots sitting there, like him and his two kids, which is pretty funny. Yeah, you just have to be, you know, take precautions and, you know, Ansel, the director, like he's continued to work at Wieden and Kennedy and direct commercials and stuff like that. They just have protocols for it. And like the stop motion movie that I've been working on, they went back into the studio in August of 2020. And there's two like real small outbreaks, but neither of them like spread at all because everybody's like, they do contact tracing and wear masks and ventilation's really good in the building. So you just have to, you know, just don't be stupid.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's advice you could use in any aspect of life, not just doing a shoot for COVID.
Well, except I'll make one exception. Except in the case of us in our videos, we actually do need to be stupid.
Your brand?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's great. I mean, it makes me happy because I'm such a fan of music videos. And, you know, obviously if it wasn't for music videos, there would be no metal injection to begin with. So just that you guys kind of have a renewed focus on it, like brought, like show that, hey, look, not only can you make something fun that's, you know, not too expensive, but it actually has a huge positive impact on your band's career. If you just take a few minutes and think of something cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I think a lot of people just do throwaway videos and it's not helping them at all. You know, to just do like, oh, let's just film ourselves playing in a warehouse.
Yeah.
You know?
Abandoned warehouse.
Yeah.
Standard.
We'll just get our buddy, shoot it with his iPhone.
I was going to ask you, are you a fan of cooking?
How did you know? Is it my jowls? Is it my COVID, COVID jowls that I got?
You know what? It was Google, actually.
Oh.
I
just wanted you to talk about that. If you, you know, since you had spent more time at home, if you practiced anything new in the kitchen, if you can.
I did. So right at the start of lockdown, I think I actually gained most of my weight within the first few months because.
Same.
Yeah. A bunch of my friends were like, yeah, now that I'm just making food at home, I don't eat out so much. I lost all this weight. And I was like, huh, that's funny. Cause actually now that I cook for myself, I'm like, hey, you know what? I really want family Mexican tonight. So I like made, you know, cheese on a plate basically. The main thing is right at the beginning. I think because we wanted comfort so much, my wife and I, we love pho. That's one of our favorite foods. So we've just been messing around a lot with like trying to perfect our version. You know, it's nowhere near as good as the restaurant version because I'm not going to make a huge vat of like beef knuckles, you know, and whatever. But we do our version and it totally works. I was doing like one day I wanted to just have English breakfast. So I made some like I had just regular beans and I was like, can you make these taste like those English baked beans? And I did, and we had an English breakfast, but I've used American-style bacon because, no offense, England, your bacon is disgusting.
Yeah. What about the blood sausage? Any blood sausage?
No, I love black pudding when it's done correctly, but I'm too scared to try to make it. But the thing that was kind of the most adventurous that I was the most happy with was the last – actual tour we did was right after my wedding in 2019. We went to Indonesia and played a few shows over there. And every city has its own like specialty meal. And there's this one that we had that's called Opor Ayam, which is like, it's basically like a coconut milk chicken soup and not spicy. So I thought that my son might like it. And I like ordered all these pieces from the internet because like a bunch of the stuff you just can't get even at Asian markets out here. And then I wrote to our tour manager over there. It's like, what's the secret, you know, whatever. And then made it a couple of times. It actually turned out pretty damn good.
Nice.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
that must be like the one thing that when bands tour, they can actually like experience, especially overseas. I know there's not much like downtime to explore and stuff, but at least you get to eat.
Absolutely. Yeah. We call them, actually, I think it's my wife. Her
my
band.
Wife.
Exactly.
Oh,
sorry.
Boy.
Sorry. She calls them regional delights. And so we always ask for like, you know, even if it's just snacks, we're like, bring us some sort of whatever the regional salty, crunchy snack is, or like some regional booze or whatever it is. Yeah, you can get like, I love trying all that kind of the weird stuff that you're not going to get otherwise. Like in, we had a day off in, was it Eastern France, and went to a restaurant that had escargot. And I was like, I'll probably never get this anywhere else, but it's right here it is. So I'll try it. And it's kind of how you might imagine it. It's actually not bad at all.
Yeah. It kind of tastes like mushrooms.
Yeah. It's kind of like seafood crossed with mushrooms.
Yeah.
Very buttery.
I like it.
I'm with you on that. I like to explore and like, if it's like, oh, when am I ever going to try? Like, how bad could this be? You know, and then, I always like
case scenario, just spit it out.
Yeah.
Although that's actually not quite true either.
Uh-oh.
Worst case scenario is, I didn't try this cause I wasn't there. I would have had I been there. But I would have regretted it in the same way David did. When we were in Iceland, they have that thing that I can't remember the name of. And even if I did, I wouldn't be able to say it.
York.
Which is very good. Which is they take a shark and they lay it on a rocky beach and let it basically rot so that all of its like rotten juices can run out of its mouth or whatever. Because the flesh is actually poisonous to eat until you let it rot, at which point, it tastes like basically the thing that the poison turns into is uric acid or urea.
I have to jump in here. If you can't eat something until it rots, it's probably good to skip that thing.
I agree. But you know, if you live on a tiny island where you might, the other option is to starve to death.
Yeah.
Sure.
But that's not the case anymore. They have Taco Bell. We saw Taco Bell in Reykjavik.
And hot dog stands.
Yes. But David tried it, and he said that he, like, you can either get it wet or dry. And he got the what's that?
Which one did he get?
The wet. And so he was like, sure, I'll try it. And he took it. Yeah, I don't think he managed it. He, like, took a tiny bite and then just spit it out. But he said that just the juice got in his beard, and he, like, what stayed in his beard for like 3 days.
Oh. I could have told you, you got to get the dry uric.
It's a delicacy. That's
yeah.
You get the wet. That's how, the basic bitch version. Don't do that.
Exactly.
Are there any, like, now that touring is going to start back up, are you like making perhaps a spreadsheet of all the hot spots that you're like, oh, it's been so long since I hit up this, but like, what have you been craving on the road to hit up when you get to a certain town? Are there any big ones?
There's like, not in the US anyway, there's not, and usually it's just once we arrive someplace that's, you know, then the memories come flooding back. But I don't really necessarily have cravings for stuff. I did have some sort of like daydream the other day where I was just remembering what it feels like to be walking around in Europe on tour and craving that. Just the general thing of being in Europe. But I am stoked that, I guess I'm not supposed to say it yet. I'm not supposed to say it till next Wednesday, but we do maybe have a couple shows lined up that we haven't announced yet. And maybe some of them are at venues that I've always wanted to play at. So I'm excited about that. Or I would be if that were happening.
That's great. That's exciting to hear. I see there are two big festivals that have been announced that you guys are playing, Louder Than Life, and you're playing a Halloween show I guess it's not a festival, it's just a show with all them witches.
Yeah.
On Halloween. So that's
and
just,
there is
it, a, go ahead.
There is another festival, which is Cycle Las Vegas, which I think just got announced yesterday or the day before. Yeah.
Yes. And that looks like I am, you know, before the pandemic, I joked that I was retiring from shows and that like I need a break. Now I'm like, maybe I should just fly out to Vegas 3 days, like really take it in. Like, cause that lineup looks awesome. It's like a Las Vegas, just in a casino.
Have any of you guys ever been to Psycho Las Vegas?
No, I haven't. No.
No.
It's real good. It's super fun.
Hmm.
I mean, because Vegas already has that. Like, if you can just relax and just allow yourself to just, you know, be in Vegas, it can be a kind of stressful place, I know. But if you just, like, let Vegas happen to you, it has such a just, like, you know, it's just such a carnival atmosphere to begin with. And then to just like plop this weird metal festival into the middle of all that. And there's like shows where we played it once before and our stage was outside and there's like a pool right there. So, you know, there's like people kicking water on each other out of the, it's pretty great. I recommend it.
I think I might, I'm like very like almost at the book now. But Aaron, thank you so much for your time. This has been really fun and I'm very, very excited to hear the full album Arrows. It's out June 4th. Three of the songs are up on streaming services now. Sounds great. And the artwork looks really fun. Really like the fluorescence. Can't go wrong.
Awesome.
Thanks, Aaron.
Yep.
Hopefully we'll
see
you soon. Maybe next Wednesday we'll learn if we'll see you in New York at some point in the next 6 months.
Yes. Keep your eyes on the internet.
We will. And on our spreadsheets.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Bye.
Oh, he's done. He's done. He's out of here. That was Aaron of Red Fang. Bless his mother. Bless his father.
Bless
213 Wide Net, that's the number. If you want to call, tell us about how great our interview with Aaron was. I think that went very well.
Yeah.
He was really funny.
Yeah.
During the interview, I Googled who his wife was because he mentioned that she was a
his wife.
Musician. And
yeah,
she's actually,
like
she was the drummer from the band Unwound, which is like a legendary indie rock post-hardcore band.
Cool.
It's no joke.
Sid, your face is now non-existent because the
what?
Sun
what
seems
happening?
To be hitting
you.
You
pull your shades down?
There's like a reflection. That window does not have shades. It's the kitchen window, which is the furthest one from me, but the sun is reflecting off of a window.
I got it.
Across
got
the street.
It. Here's what you do.
Do
you take your hat, you turn it over, and you tip it. It'll create like a little shade.
Sid gets very flustered when sun hits him. He's not used to this phenomenon happening.
I know, it's an overload of vitamin D.
I'm using Dave Hill's Canadian only release.
Friend of
That's
the show,
better.
Dave Hill.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
Well, another person who we've discussed on the show, Dave Mustaine, had an eventful week because he announced.
Mustaine or the other guy?
Well, he made an announcement that his best friend, till the end, he's out of the band.
Total fucking Duclaw.
As a quick recap, video surfaced, compromising video of Dave Ellison spread across the internet like wildfire.
Dave Ellison was spread?
Spread through the sheets.
His legs were spread.
Girl, guy, girl.
And so basically he was FaceTiming with a younger woman. Who wasn't his wife? Who,
let's be fair, most women on the planet are younger than him. So,
and so Ellison has been married for 27 years, has a few kids, all older than this girl who he was FaceTiming with.
Come on now.
So what's that?
Woman, Rob. It's not a girl.
Oh, this woman. You're right. You're right. So she said she was 19 at the time, but still, you know, it was. Very embarrassing and not the type of headline that an artist would want, especially someone so concerned with image like
a man of God.
Yeah. I want to, so go ahead. No, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, like, it's not a reflection on Dave Mustaine. It's a reflection on David Ellefson.
Well, the company you keep, though. I mean, they've been knowing each other for 40 years now.
It's a, but here's the thing, right? So there was that drama blew up like 2 weeks ago or whatever it was, where
right.
the video surfaced. And when it happened, I'm sure what happened was that Mustaine was getting requests for comments. You know,
oh,
like
oh, yeah, of course, yes.
Yeah, and at the time, Megadeth put out a statement something like, "Oh, we're investigating this, and you know, we'll get to the bottom of this." We're watching.
They actually did. Do you think they hired like an investigative crew to look into the facts, Rob?
I don't know. Okay, so the first statement that they made, and this wasn't signed by Dave Mustaine, so Jaron, you can hold off on doing your voice for now.
The first thing he said was, Dave who?
Yeah, exactly. He's like, who's in my band?
I change him up so much, it's hard to keep track.
He goes, we're aware of the recent statements regarding David Ellefson and are watching the developments closely, which is okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
Before you move forward, what do you think they were more embarrassed about, this scandal or David Ellefson reading resumes?
I think when he was reading the resumes, was he not in Megadeth at that point? That might have been when he was just doing
guilty
A&R.
Association.
Is it possible that he was reading that woman's resume and that's how they met? Imagine.
Let's see. Nanny, worked at McDonald's.
Yeah.
No, just graduated high school.
Yeah. Ooh.
Legal.
He was a mentor to her.
Brother.
Mental.
Not grooming, it's mentorship.
So, yeah. But then also there was some vague comment about, you know, they've been teasing a new album for 2 years now. So in that first statement, Megadeth collectively writes, as it relates to creativity and business, we're all familiar with one another. However, there are certainly aspects of David's private life that he has kept to himself. So he goes, as this situation unfolds, it's important that all voices be heard clearly and respectfully. We look forward to the truth coming to light. So that was the statement initially. And now a new statement was released yesterday, signed by Dave Mustaine, and it was cold as ice. Darren, can you...
We are informing our fans that David Ellefson is no longer playing with Megadeth, that we are officially parting ways with him. We do not take this decision lightly. While we do not know every detail of what occurred with an already strained relationship, what has already been revealed now is enough to make working together impossible moving forward. We look forward to seeing our fans on the road this summer, and we cannot wait to share our brand new music with the world. It is almost complete.
All right. So a lot to take in there.
Yeah.
We do not take this decision lightly, tells me. You know, he obviously spent a good amount of time talking about it, calling his accountant, learning how much he would save not having to pay David Ellefson. And the line that really sticks out to me is the next sentence where he goes, while we do not know every detail of what occurred with an already strained relationship.
Yep. Couldn't help putting that in.
Like, that is some hard shade to throw in when a guy, like, when your best friend, as he said many years ago, is down in the dumps, you're saying you're already, like, annoyed as fuck with him, and then he has to pull this shit.
Well, Robbie has to make it, like, verbally clear that he had nothing to do with this and had no idea what Dave Ellefson was doing in his spare time.
Yeah, we didn't like the guy anyway.
I always knew something was up with him.
Do you know what the strain is? Like, was that in the news? Or is that just something that...
Is there a bandmate that Dave Mustaine doesn't have a strained relationship with? I mean...
No, I know, but like...
That Dave doesn't
oh, yeah,
have a strained
yeah. yeah, like, I think... I'm sure I'm sure, you know what? Like, just off the top of my head, like, what could it possibly be? Maybe he was just annoyed that Ellefson was doing all of these side gigs of, like, he was doing Metal Allegiance. He was doing live shows.
Ellefson's wife
summer.
Was annoyed about the side gigs, too.
He was working at a Claire's.
And also eating eclairs.
I always knew something was up when he brought that box of lollipops into the studio. What are you doing, Dave?
I do want to pull up this tweet that Dave Mustaine shared in 2017. Oh. And, you know, now doesn't quite hit the same way, which is it's a selfie. David Ellefson's holding the camera. They're on like a mountaintop looking and him and Dave Mustaine posing, smiling, and Dave Mustaine's caption, "We will always be best friends."
There's a girl doing a YouTube makeup tutorial just to the left of them out of that frame there.
And then so my tweet is, how it started is this, and how it's going is, of course, the now Megadeth parts ways with David Ellefson.
Well, nice picture. Very flattering pictures you used there, I got to say.
Oh, well, this is a promo photo. It's like the one promo photo where they were standing next to each other so I could do this very dramatic page rip. This is my signature. Like, I love when there's like one member of a band that leaves or like multiple members leave. I love doing the page rip. Yeah. I do the red X sometimes.
When they're kicked out?
When they're kicked out, but also when it's harder to do the page rip because the musician is only like in the middle of the photo. So it's hard to get about. Or if it's the whole band that ends, it's like the whole band is done. This is a little behind the scenes.
There we go.
Kind of information here.
I have a question. Do you like hand draw that or is it a line that you make? Two lines.
Well, it's like I use the brush tool and I do that. Sometimes I have to redo the line because yes, it's hand.
By
it's
hand.
Mouse drawn. It's mouse wow. drawn.
In case you were ever wondering how he rips bands apart, this is it with the brush tool.
The bands rip themselves apart. I just want to create a visual allegory, is that the term, for
well,
the action?
It's not. Is that, it's in the neighborhood.
A visual simile? What's the word? A metaphor. Visual
analogy.
Metaphor. An analogy. That's not allegory. Analogy was what I was looking for, but metaphor is the term.
I could see how the brush tool making a red X could be an allegory for splitting up, though. I'm trying to pull it out of the fire for you, Rob.
Thank you. Thank you. There's hidden meaning in it, as far as I'm concerned.
Sure. You don't know what it is, but it's there.
So now who's going to be the new bassist? So my initial thought is he's just going to get the guy that was in the band right beforehand, James Clemenza. That guy's available.
Clemenza? From The
Lemenza.
Godfather? Oh. Wait, so they had Nick Menza and James Lemenza?
Watch out, Lemenza. If your mother's lasagna's not on point, you're going to get
Dave fucked. Away. Keep Mustaine away from your mom and keep Ellefson away from your daughter.
Yeah. Nobody
it's
in
James...
your family's safe.
It's James Lomenzo, but very similar. Yes, yeah, there he is.
Oh, no, that's not a real person.
That's a real person.
That's Sebastian Bach in a fake beard.
The guy had amazing hair.
Looks like the guy from Wasp.
Chris Holmes?
Yeah. That guy.
When he has the beard, he looks like...
His White Lion era.
Rob, go to that picture where it says Bass Magazine. You lost it. Anyway, he looks like a regular height Peter Dinklage when he has a beard.
I could see it.
Actually, he is kind of short. Maybe it's not such a regular height, Peter Dinklage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just a separate.
Yeah, I just go ahead.
I wouldn't want to get his hopes up when he gets like a Google alert for his name.
No,
you know, because he might not be the guy.
Yeah. Well, right now he's in a band with Chris Adler. They're a fun power metalish band.
Oh, I got a Google. Oh fuck! I've only been invited into Ziploc colostomy bag. Shit.
I think if they want to make headlines, they got to bring in Jason Newsted. Imagine.
Wow. Or Scott Ian.
Jason doesn't have time for that drama.
Scott Ian's not a, Scott Ian's a guitarist, though.
And honestly, all this is like they're going to have a 5-year grace period and they could sell concert tickets in 5 years. Ellefson's back. The original lineup, blah, blah, blah. That's all this is. This is like him in the penalty box long enough that it's a newsworthy thing when he's back in the band.
Just wait till all the girls he dated were in their 20s, and then you'll be fine.
Well, one thing I want to say, though, is, like, there's only been this one claim, you know. If there was a pattern of abuse, I feel like by now more women would come forward.
So is this bad PR?
Yeah.
Abuse? Should we even call this abuse?
Yeah, I guess it's not really abuse. It's just embarrassing.
It's creepy. I'm not going to say it's not creepy, but it's not. I wouldn't say it's abuse. She seemed like a willing participant.
Yeah, that's fair.
It just says a lot about how, like, he probably just longs for his youth, and he probably does it through that.
I would have conceded that definitely 100% it's a creepy behavior.
And also, for her to want to engage in that kind of stuff with him tells me that she was probably abused at some point in her life, maybe not by him, but by someone earlier on to make her think that this is desirable in some way. Come on, better. I don't even know who she is, but I know she could do better.
Voodoo Chaos has an interesting theory in the chat. For the last album, of course, they brought in Lamb of God drummer Chris Adler to be on the album. And then Adler ended up leaving Lamb of God afterwards. So Voodoo Chaos posits he's going to get the bassist from Lamb of God, John Campbell, and then start another drama there.
Oh, so you think that Dave Mustaine is like spending his time on Earth now trying to break up Lamb of God?
Yes.
Well, he probably is offended by the band name.
Oh.
You know?
Or the murder. Could be either one.
Oh, brother.
They're both sins. They're both sins, Rob.
Like the murder of Jesus, you mean?
Sure. Was that the guy's name at that concert?
Lamb of God. It's Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God.
I think Sid is referencing something else, which is
not true.
He's trying to push your button.
Conspiracy.
Did they ever make kebabs out of the Lamb of God? Those are probably tasty.
Mm.
That's what I call the kebab when I get one. It's really good. This lamb is of God.
Very delicious.
I like the idea of them hiring Jason Newsted, because then this idiot can finally say, like, oh, I'm in Metallica. You know, sort of.
Which one? The problem is the last time that Newsted and Mustaine did business was when Newsted was doing a solo project, Newsted, and they were on tour with Megadeth in Australia, and Newsted got kicked off the tour.
What did he do again?
I'm not even sure what he did.
Was this when Dave also had his Dewclaw moment? Wasn't that in Australia also?
Oh, that might have been.
Everybody.
Seriously, he's just on a rampage.
So let me. I'm looking up the story now. This is from 2014.
Total fucking Dewclaw.
He was talking about Jason Newsted. That's fucked up.
Total waste of skin and life.
So here it is. So for the band released a statement. At the request of Megadeth, Newsted will not be playing the Below shows and will be replaced by Whitechapel. And one of the festival promoters was asked, was it Newsted's choice to leave? And then the promoter wrote, nope, Dave's choice.
That's not what I said.
Something has certainly gone down, although we have no details. Maybe there's a problem between managers or agents. This was all the tour promoter, right? So then Dave Mustaine said he had nothing to do with kicking Newsted off the tour. And the band's manager said, Dave Mustaine is not responsible for booting Newsted off the bill. Dave did not put him on the bill and did not take him off the bill. Mustaine submitted a list of bands he was comfortable with, and the promoter ignored the list. Dave and Jason are friends, and this is blown up into something silly.
I have the list here of bands that he's okay with. You ready?
Yeah.
Megadeth. What was that 45, the side project he had? What was that called again?
I don't even remember.
Something 45.
Something 45.
Solution 45, I think.
The end.
Wait, no, Solution 45 was the scar symmetry side project.
Oh, wait. Oh, MD45. I'm sorry.
MD45. Also, Solution 45.
Yeah.
Scar symmetry.
No, wait a minute. Fuck them.
Aw.
And then what's so funny, so his manager said they didn't have anything to do with it. Then not 3 days later, Megadeth drop off the tour that they didn't kick Jason Newsted off of. This is my headline.
Wow. So he left for nothing.
And so he goes, due to circumstances beyond its control, Megadeth has decided to cancel their dates. Megadeth's decision is unrelated to the fact that Jason Newsted is performing at Soundwave. Jason and I spoke recently and continue to be friends. Mustaine said that. And then go ahead.
He specifically pointed that out in the statement.
That's
yeah.
a weird
that
thing
tells you
to include,
everything.
Right? Yeah.
Wait,
there's more.
That's not what I said.
He said at the time, all I asked for was an apology for blaming me for something I didn't do. I'm still willing to play, but the promoter would rather not apologize and prefers to say I asked him to lie, which I didn't.
That's not what I said.
He continues, am I the only one that sees how easy it is to fix this? He then names the promoter. The promoter that I know is a wise and caring man. And I don't know what happened to my old friend.
Hello, promoter. Meet the real promoter.
It ended up being this whole thing is the promoter that put it on his handlers. Anyway, I'm now convinced that this is absolutely...
Handlers or Mustaine's handlers?
Mustaine's handlers. Okay. So I'm now convinced that this was absolutely Mustaine who did this. And then there was all this drama. And as always, he never wants to take the blame. We've learned, if you've listened to a good portion of these 621 episodes of the Metal Injection Livecast, you know that nothing is Dave Mustaine's fault.
Yeah, hey, listen.
I mean, people hate me because of you.
Yeah, I was him talking to Jason Newsted.
It was actually him talking to Lars, that's reality. So close.
He probably said it to each of them. Anytime he runs into them, they're like at some, you know, restaurant in wine country.
He just has it on a handheld recorder, and when he sees a member of Metallica, he just says, people hate me because of you, he just clicks the button. It's like a macro.
I think for newsworthiness and for very fun drama, that would be great if Newsted joined. I'm sorry, I think I might have heard a rumor that what happened was that Newsted kind of, like the last time he toured, he was in Metallica, and this band was very much not Metallica, and the dichotomy between the different positions on the bill was a bit hard for him to swallow, and perhaps he made a request or two that didn't sit well with Dave Mustaine. The first part he said himself. He said, oh, when I went out on my solo tour, it was a hard lesson to learn. There's no money, blah, blah, blah. And I was spending money out of my pocket and I just couldn't afford it. So I imagine he probably made a few requests that Mustaine as the headliner was not too fond. That's me adding to what's out there.
But why is Mustaine dealing with those? Why does he even know about those requests?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good point.
The musician, just go out and play. Why are they running that by
Maybe
him?
He's also a fan of spreadsheets, and he just likes to look at all the spreadsheets, the request spreadsheets,
right?
what catering people want. Maybe Newsted wanted some filet mignon.
Yeah,
and Mustaine's right? No, only I get the filet mignon.
The tour manager knocked on Dave's door. He's like, Newsted's requesting fancy steaks. We're $500 short. Can I have some cash, Dave? unless that's how it went, it just seems weird that it would be something that was run by him at all. Weird. I don't know. But they're clearly friends. They mentioned that in every statement.
Yes.
For some reason.
They have one of those necklaces that you can break in half and one of them... cry. Another one says,
That's where Rob got the idea for the X through the Megadeth photos.
So that's to add the B, Fry, and Saint, like ST, Street, Ends.
I like it.
So sad.
Well, the filet mignon of synthwave music is, in fact, Perturbator. I am such a fan of Perturbator. And with his new music, Perturbator is further evolving into twilight experimentation with his darkest masterwork to date. Perturbator arrives with his highly awaited fifth album, Lustful Sacraments, on May 28th. Lustful Sacraments opens with a reverence for utter madness, gnarled and distorted low end, skewing all modern rules of tempo. The reigning master of cyberpunk guides us on a dystopian odyssey through the seediest post-punk and goth clubs, spiraling through sonic revelations, underbelly of hedonism, addiction, and madness. The culmination of Perturbator's decade-long descent from the neon-soaked alleyways of an ecstasy-induced fever dream into the bleak core at the center of modern life. Pick up Perturbator, Lustful Sacraments, starting this Friday, May 28th. Love Perturbator. Cannot recommend it enough.
I remember when Rob was in an ecstasy fever dream.
Masturbator.
It's hard to masturbate on ecstasy.
Is that right?
Unless you're at the office.
Yeah, because your mind is moving too fast. It's hard to, like, focus on the boner. Or it's not, no. It's like you could be. It's hard to ejaculate, like finish. I should say the boner isn't that hard. Yeah,
it's not.
Oh,
and it's actually very hard. So it depends on the situation.
It just goes on and on, right?
Oh yeah, it's kind of like it's Viagra-esque in a way.
How do you know? You've taken Viagra?
I want to. I haven't. I just haven't. I'm very curious about what it's like to take Viagra.
What happens? I really don't know the answer to this. What happens if you take Viagra and you have a functional penis?
You get a boner. You get a really hard boner.
So you get a. But like, if you're already hard, does it make it like through the wall or something?
Yeah. Well, like, there's. Don't you notice, like, if you haven't jacked it? No. Chime in here. Don't you notice, like, if you haven't jacked it for a while? Like, your boner is harder. It's like more throbbing, than if jacked off the day before or jacked off earlier in the day. Like, your boner, the second jerk off of the day, your boner isn't as throbbing as if it were like a week or two had passed.
Maybe I'm in the minority here. If I get a boner after having ejaculated in the same day, you're saying that situation, my second boner is like, I feel more strident and also sometimes hurts. I feel like not hurts like intense pain, but I feel like stimulation.
It's like your body telling you, like, stop making me horny.
It's a little sensitive, but I feel like it's harder the second time.
What about the third time?
I can't remember the last time.
The third time it falls off.
Twice.
Well, I'm just saying. I feel like there's levels of bonerdom.
I think you should
know?
Take. I think you should take Viagra and report back to the team.
Put on the
I would. Yeah. I mean, I've considered maybe trying like Blue Chew. If you're out there, you know, hit us up for the
we
show.
We had Blue Chew before.
Oh yeah, we did that with I don't know. I just haven't done it, but I've always been curious about like what it would be like. Just
you're
to,
blue curious.
I imagine it would be. Yes, I'm blue curious. I imagine it'd be similar to what it'd be like on X.
No.
It messes with your state of mind, too, and Viagra doesn't, right?
I should say Molly, just like the pure MDMA, where it's not. It's just a physical sensation.
But
how many different drugs have you gotten erections while taking? Jesus Christ.
Molly is just like the streamlined version of it's just the MDMA, not laced with anything.
I understand that, but like
usually the thing that makes your mind go crazy on ecstasy is whatever it's laced with, which is usually some sort of amphetamine.
You ever have a fentanyl boner?
No, I would like to stay away from fentanyl. Actually,
since we found out who it
It's been brutal. Like, I saw a message from a friend of mine on Instagram. I'm not going to mention who, saying how, like, there's been coke, like, laced with fentanyl being sold in New York. So, like, be careful and stay away from it. So it's
Rob,
like,
has coke friends. Look at that.
I know. Rob also gets boners while he does coke. That's the other one.
So cocaine boners are also difficult because it's so intense.
No, I guess you've never seen Rob's side blog project, which is Metal Erection, where he tests different drugs for their effect on his boners.
That's who runs it?
Yes, it's hot deep injection, actually.
Oh, no.
better SEO. To go against the metal erection molding. That's,
what's funny is the person who shared it is actually sober, but he was just warning friends of his. And actually, I heard a few people in the Atlanta metal scene died in the last few weeks from doing fentanyl-laced cocaine. So it's very, very scary.
There's an Atlanta metal scene? Well, I guess not anymore, but there was one.
Aww.
Yeah. Well, it came out that Riley from Power Trip overdosed on it.
Yes, it came out today. His autopsy revealed that he suffered from a fentanyl overdose, and that was the only drug other than marijuana in his system. So it was just the fentanyl. And fentanyl, by the way, for those that don't know, it's a synthetic opiate that's essentially like 80 times stronger than morphine.
How are the boners on it?
Yeah,
I imagine
Check
not.
Blog.
I imagine impossible.
Here. Come on.
I've never done the strong downers, so I don't know. I can't.
Yeah, Rob hires freelancers to do those reviews. A lot of them were from Atlanta. Fucked up, Rob.
No, I don't like where these jokes are headed. This is a little bit,
to the South. Now you got a problem with the South?
This is a bit too morbid even for me.
He sits up and then giggles.
Let's move on to something we could all laugh about. Gene Simmons.
Oh, Chaim Witz.
That is his real name. And he has a brand new class, a brand new way to squeeze money out of Kiss fans, I should say.
Yep.
And it's
I'll be teaching you how to build a custom mezuzah to put outside your door. I'm Gene Simmons.
So he announced a master class in Las Vegas next month. So you got to fly to Las Vegas, you get to hang out with Gene. And Darren, do you want to read this as Gene?
Yeah.
As a message.
Join me, Gene Simmons of KISS, in an intimate private setting on Saturday, June 26th, 2021, in Las Vegas, Nevada, not Las Vegas, Israel, as I like to frequent, as I teach you and your classmates to play bass and write a song. That's right. We'll be together on stage.
What if he will be the new bassist of Megadeth?
Oh man, I don't think.
Can you imagine like that power struggle?
Yeah, those production meetings.
I mean that would be like the metal event of the century.
I was asked to audition for Megadeth, and unfortunately that weekend I had to officiate a bris of. The grand nephew of Peter Criss, my good friend. I did not do bar mitzvah b'tei on him. I don't want to immediately get kicked out of Megadeth for putting my mouth on an underage person. So I did not do the herpes baby sucking thing. However, I was not available. Sorry, Dave.
Gene, how does Dave Mustaine like your mother's matzah brei? What does he think?
Dave Mustaine rejected my mother's matzah brei. That caused some tension between us. I had to fly to Yisroel and touch the Wailing Wall. Set a hex on Dave Mustaine for defaming the name of my good mother, Yissy.
There's no way Gene Simmons' mom is still alive, right?
I'll have you know, I have her in a KISS-themed cryogenic chamber.
His mom's name is Flora.
Flora. My mother, Flora. We call her Yitzi for short. It's Hebrew for I love you. We have her in a cryogenic chamber. She will be living until the age of 200.
Correction. It's a KISS cryogenic freezer.
KISS. Yes. That's what I said. A KISS. Pay attention, Noah. I know we're of the same tribe, but try to keep up here.
Here's some photos of Mama Simmons.
Mama Chaim Witz. Mama Witzy.
She looks so happy.
Oh, Jesus.
This is, well, here's the thing with this photo. We're seeing a photo of Gene in, like, full Kiss makeup standing next to his mother. His mother didn't know that he was in Kiss. She thinks she's just about to fuck the bassist from her favorite band. She didn't know that was her son. She's, like, super psyched.
That just sounds like a Pornhub video.
He did finally break it to her.
Kiss Bang Bus. Oh, he waited till the last second, and you are being punked.
Then he let Paul Stanley fuck her.
Oh! Stanley, how dare you?
Oh, man. Those look more feminine than her here.
I would like to point out that those flowers that my mother is holding, I only charge her $11.99 for those. Not full price. I'm a loving son.
Oh, let's hear this. Gene Simmons sings Hungarian with his mom.
You're the classic example of
someone who
overextends himself.
And his mom looks good.
That's his wife.
Oh.
I may overextend myself, but I do it in style.
All right, let's go.
Yo, you're late, man. What happened? Your mom didn't put the alarm on?
I love her. He's a rock and roll icon. He's a merchandising visionary, television and media superstar.
Ladies, where's his mom? Oh, there we go.
I didn't have him. Sometimes I...
Yes, you did. You bought me my first guitar. You said I was great. Anything I tried...
What are you talking about?
You always said, reach for the stars. Run, can I say
This is actually pretty sweet. I'm stunned to be touched by something Gene Simmons is a part of.
Stunned to be touched by Gene Simmons.
It was Hungarian for the lyrics to Strutter. Tel Aviv, Rock City.
It's Noah's favorite song.
Oh.
So she died in 2018.
Oh, that's a shame.
R.I.P. Mama Simmons.
I feel like for someone to... go the way of Gene Simmons in terms of, like, you know, what Kiss, I guess, like, presented as, you either had to have a really fucked up childhood or you really had to have supportive parents who encouraged you to be that comfortable. So
yeah, mm-hmm. And make you think everything you come up with is great.
Well, I guess her helicopter parenting worked. So let's praise Mama Gene.
They're calling from beyond to tell us Gene is awesome.
That's Mama Raba calling, is it?
Yeah, that is Mama Raba. And I even put up my Do Not Disturb. How does it even...
Put her on the air.
That never
That's
works.
The rule. If you get a phone call during the show, it has to be on the air.
Tell her to zoom in. Zoom it good. Zoom it good.
Take the call and start singing in Hungarian to her.
Zoom it. I zoom it good. This is Mr.
Rob, were there any songs that you and Mama Raba used to sing?
Yeah.
When you were a young boy?
The first one that comes to mind is just this old Russian song, which was like, Kalinka, 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 Maya. It's a very famous song.
Tetris.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a Tetris song. You're right.
She didn't even know it from Russia. She just knew it from Tetris.
My mom was... a master of Tetris. I would have to fight her for the Game Boy because she was crushing it on there.
I play Tetris too. It's so weird.
Yeah, she was really into it. It was like the one game that she can get into. Probably because of the music.
Yeah,
did she sing while playing?
Yeah, definitely.
Did you ever curse because she put the long block down in the wrong direction?
No, she was really good. But like, my mom is also very much like a neat freak. So she's really into organizing. So she was very good about like just leaving that one row free to then like get the combo points of the line. And like, she was very good at, you know, compiling the other
way, the Tetris blocks.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's all congratulate
Gene Simmons' mother on her third year in hell for producing Gene Simmons.
Oh, man.
Well, congratulations.
So what was...
You can learn bass from Gene Simmons.
Although... This is only in person? You can't, like, live stream it?
No, because it's like... I'm just burping up. It's like a $700 or whatever thing.
Okay.
It's very expensive. So,
well,
yeah,
I thought it was on MasterClass website. No?
It's an in-person MasterClass. Yeah, so I don't think it has anything to do with the thing. I just tried to go to the website to see the cost, and I want to show you guys what it is. It's pretty funny. Here it is. Oops. Gene, hire me. You need a web developer. What's going on here?
Maybe what?
It's getting so many hits. So many people want a piece of Gene Simmons. Oh, it's not even. There's no cash even.
Is this a fake story? Is this even a real thing that he's having this?
Oh my goodness!
You get it from like that like star website that we talked about the other day, where you have to like zoom into the clip. It was like a photo somewhere.
No, it's. Oh, wait, let me see if I can put a cash. Okay, there's a cash version.
We will also, I will be offering for $1,100 a arts and crafts class where you will make a macrame version of the Talmudic scrolls that I have on my Kissmobile, on the outside of my Kissmobile.
Wow, look at all this shit he's selling. You could buy a Kiss sword. Oh, it's a used... These things are so expensive that they don't even list the price. You have to email them to request the price.
You're serious.
I'm assuming because they don't want to be like shamed by websites like ours. Let's see pricing. Oh, I see. Oh my goodness! So you have to also buy a bass.
Oh my God! Really? And they're like $6,000.
Yes, they prices range from $57.50 to $59.95. For the Red Flake Punisher. Look at these names. White Punisher. Classic Punisher. Classic Hack. You and your... I wonder if... So it's you and your two guests receive VIP credentials, goodies, whatever. Is it $6,000 each or for three people? You know?
I guess you only have
there's
to buy...
even more expensive bases, too, for $7,200. Wow. And $7,700. Wow, they're really hitting all the different price points. Let's see this ad.
Hi, everybody. It's Gene Simmons. Yep, you came to the right place. GeneSimmonsX.com.
It doesn't work right now, but you're here.
We make you happy. We create magic. When you sign up, you get your own instrument that I sign for you. I make them on my own. It's not through some guitar.
I was like, what is that bass sound?
Company
the video.
In the course of one day, just a few hours... You may have never played a musical instrument in
Why
your life,
somebody chewing
but in
the
a very short time, you're going to be playing a musical instrument.
Who is next here?
Wow, so Gene Simmons is literally teaching you how to play bass guitar. That's fucking insane. Like, Gene Simmons isn't known to be a good bassist. He's just a passable bassist.
It's just being next to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For $8,200, I will come to your house and clean the chametz out of your kitchen. For Pesach, I will say the yahrzeit in the Talmudic tradition for you. I'm Gene.
When
I was a
class?
Kid, I couldn't sit with Paul McCartney, and he couldn't teach me all the secrets. But that's what I'm going to do with you.
You're far too distant from Paul McCartney.
Don't keep that child away from Gene.
And that you think is impossible.
Wait, there's Dave Ellison. Quick.
And I'm here to tell you that it's not necessarily to play an instrument to write a song.
See?
Really. You don't have to read.
He's just going to spend an hour bitching about Spotify and how it's killed music. Also, like, these basses look very heavy. Is this the type of bass to really train on, you know?
Rob, is that Linda McMahon?
It really does look like her.
Right, music.
Harry Garth.
Wow, look at this guy over here. This fucking Neil Young looking motherfucker.
Don't insult Neil Young.
Just listen to what I'm saying.
I think it's a really great idea by Gene to get his fans to come out and, like, you know, pay for this class or whatever. And then, like he has something to talk to them about. He's not just like having them stand around and like punish him.
But
so,
the guitars are called punishers. So he's inviting
them. He's
that.
Punishing them with the weight of the guitars.
That's fucking right. And the price.
And the price. I don't know.
Kind.
I think it would be,
hey, if people have the money,
more bands
fine.
Did that, yeah.
Crash it.
You can meet Gene on the Kiss Cruise. All right. Click here for, let's see.
Does the cruise stop at J2 Pizza?
No prices. I just like to hear. I just like to see the price. All right, that's enough. That's enough, Gene, for today. All right, let's talk about our let's talk about our Spotify playlist. Every week, each of us picks a song and adds it to our Spotify playlist, which we call the Metal Injection Livecast Music Break. Back in the day, we used to do music break, but for copyright reasons, we're trying to avoid playing any copyright material on the show. Hopefully Gene Simmons didn't copyright that commercial because we're in for a heavy loss.
That's why the website was down, because he copyright struck himself. How litigious he is.
So, all right. So kicking it off, I picked my favorite of the three singles that Red Fang released recently. It's called Funeral Coach. I'm very excited to hear this new Red Fang album. So Funeral Coach is my pick. Darren, what did you pick? Oh, sorry, go ahead. No?
I was going to say, I always confuse coach and couch, and sometimes I misread it. I thought it was future, funeral couch.
You just pronounce both the same way. Just say funeral couch. So it's like,
yes,
is it coach or couch?
And then, right, it's on
it's
the other
like,
person.
Goodbye, a kiss, funeral couch.
Reminds me of, there's like a 7-Eleven chain in Montreal, I guess all of Canada. Called Couchetard. You ever hear that? Not making this up. That always reminds me of that when I see the word couch now.
That's fantastic.
You never heard of that? I thought they were pretty
No.
Rob, let's
photo.
I got a. I do have the logo.
S-H?
C-O-U-C-H-E-T.
Yeah, I wrote it Cush like the weed, but it's C-O-U-C-H. So let me just.
Oh, it's Kush.
Stop.
Oh, someone made a parody shirt out of it, and it said Kush with K-U-S-H. Yeah, there it is. It's got a little owl.
Oh, now I remember these. Yeah. I just put it together like
What does it mean?
I don't know. I forgot it. What does it mean, Rob?
Look up Kush in French. No, it's Google Translate. You're on the wrong Google.
All right, you guys look it up. So who picked Highway to Hell? Who's that?
Oh, that was me. Sorry. I was looking up. It means go to bed late
because
they're open late. I picked Animal playing a cover of Highway to Hell, which I don't know which version I sent you. One of them is one with, I did it in a hurry, but they had one where they did a version of that featuring Lemmy. So it's but they're not a Spanish language band, Animal. It's really good, like a hard rock, really good hard rock band.
And I believe one of the guys from Puya is in that band, actually.
Really?
Friend of the show, Jose Mangan, is a big fan of Animal. Oh. He would play them on SiriusXM Liquid Metal.
Yeah, they're really good. Good energy. If you like that kind of thing. Not like it's like kind of straddling metal. It's more on the hard rock side, I would say.
And Sid, what did you pick?
Well, it's funny that Darren made a Bjork joke earlier because earlier this week I saw there was a news item about how she's going to be in some new movie that's coming out. And so I had Bjork on the mind. And then I remembered back in the day, Helmet covered Army of Me by Bjork. And it was a pretty great cover. So I picked that.
What's the, like, where should someone start with Helmet? I remember they had that song, Betty.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I remember I was like, oh, yeah, I like it, but they're not, like, a metal band, so I can't get into them when I was younger and, like, very elitist.
Mm. They're very metal. Meantime is, like, their big album.
Meantime?
Aftertaste, I think, was my favorite. It was a little bit catchier than the first two.
That was the follow-up to Meantime.
Yeah, and then Aftertaste was the one after that, I think.
Okay. I'm going to take Sid's suggestion, Rob. Sorry.
It might be That's better fine. To start with the catchiest one and then work your way back.
And Aftertaste is the one?
That was the one I liked, yeah. That was the catchier one.
Okay.
A little more groove to it.
What kind of blew me away when I listened to Meantime for the first time was that Pantera totally ripped off Unsung in one of their songs. I believe Rise was the song. And what's so funny is that, like, I said that to a friend. I was like, no, it's just the song, you know, songs sound alike. But then Phil Anselmo was doing a takeover on Liquid Metal, and he played that song. And he actually said that while they were writing the album, he was obsessed with the album Meantime. So he was playing it so much that he thinks that Dimebag Darrell subconsciously, like, infused those riffs. And then because of that, he wrote the riff on, I believe it's Rise is where, but you can really, it's like, da-na-na, da-na-na,
da-na-na. That's the ESPN jingle.
Yeah, right.
Also,
did they ever take Helmet out on tour? Back to,
I think so. Yeah, no. Okay. And someone always talks about. So I think so.
No,
I picked Future Breed Machine by Meshuggah.
Classic.
Just a classic. Good music, good lyrics. Can't go wrong with Meshuggah.
I've actually, in the last month or two,
you've gone wrong with Meshuggah?
I've been going back and listening to new Meshuggah because it's like, you know, obviously the old stuff I've digested and consumed enough of, and like the newer stuff I've listened to a lot, but not as much, and it's really good, the last two albums. I'm excited. I believe they might be putting something out this year, either this year or next year. They're definitely in the studio right now. Curious what they come up with.
Yeah, I feel like the next, like, year or 2 years is going to be, there's going to be so much music that comes out. There's like so many like bands ready to blow their load.
Maybe they don't need the Blue Chew.
No.
Now it's time for our top Livecast fans of the week as we wind it down. If you want to be a top Livecast fan of the week, just hit up our Patreon. At the $10 a month level, you get everything for the $5 a month level I mentioned earlier in the show, the bonus episodes, the video versions of the episodes, the television column, and you get a shout out here at the end of the show. Darren, how do you feel about doing the shout outs as Dave Mustaine?
Oh, as Dave. Oh, I thought you were going to say as Gene Simmons of Kiss.
Yeah, let
or
it
as
Gene.
Gene
that's,
yeah,
that's
do
gotta
it
be
Gene
a little bit easier on the vocal cords.
Yeah, do it as Gene Simmons then.
Eric Rabaganoush, a.k.a. Justin and Benjamin, I do not think your pails are sufficient for my standards. El Deuterino, come back from Thailand. We can go on a vacation to my homeland of Israel. Dan R., as we call you, Dan R., we would call you Dan Lamed in Hebrew. I speak 17 languages, and 8 of them are Hebrew, as you know.
It wouldn't be Lamed. Lamed is kind of like an L.
Thank you.
It'd be like Ray or something like that.
Rahmed?
I had a little bit of a Gene Simmons of Kiss brain fart. Thank you, Noah, for that correction.
You're welcome.
Mindy Mayer's Keeper, as you all know, in English, you might call that a Yarmulke. Croc Destroyer, once you destroy your crocs, be they crocodiles or alligators, we can put them in a Kiss coffin. Samsonite, I am Sonite, I is Onite. A lot of words, and it sounds like it's taken directly from my Haftorah. Jander and Shasur Shasusits, those two come from languages I do not speak, one of the very few on the planet Earth. The crustacean sensation, a.k.a. God Stomper, I heard that you eat shellfish and do not remove the skins. That is disgusting. It's forbidden in the Torah. Sid, were you going to say something?
It's Trafe.
Definitely Trafe. Dallas, Robo Vampiro, Hugo Likes Tacos, all of those sound Trafe to me. Also, Lando Danks, LaCroix, two names you will not find in the Pentateuch. Scooby-Doo 182 and Douglas, who are you, Levison, a very good Jew. Very good Jew. He's a partner of mine in my new project that I am going to be doing a tour of Yisroel and kissing the Wailing Wall and reciting Kiss lyrics. Thank you. That is the Livecast Fans of the Week.
All right. That is our show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I feel like this episode just totally flew by. And also big thanks to Aaron. Mm-hmm. He won't be hearing this, but I just want to say thank you to him. Because he was an absolute sweetheart.
Yeah, he might download and listen.
He's still in the Zoom chat. His camera's just off and his sound is muted. He's been listening this whole time.
Love you, Aaron. With the blue chew this whole time.
And I will be back next Tuesday. Hopefully you can tune in. Till then, plenty of archives on our podcast page or hit up our Patreon. Till then, au revoir.
Koosh.
Koosh-tard. Atule Koosh-tard.
The recording has stopped.
Oh, Chelsea.
Hug talk lady.
Okay, so I sent two things from the interview, the spreadsheets jokes, and then him talking about all the music videos I thought was good. Like the
sent
directors.
Them meaning what? What do you mean you sent them?
In the
group chat. I was just trying to
do it
after the interview,
smart.
Just so.
Yeah. I don't wrong with that, but I just didn't know what you meant.
So what else? I think the part where we talked about Newstead being kicked off the tour, that we could just use that, and then I could share that as well on the Metal Injection socials.
Sure.
And then maybe the something out of the Gene Simmons thing too, but I mean that's already three clips, so that's more than enough.
Okay.
Sounds good. All right.
So I'll see some of you on Friday morning. Yep. And mm-hmm. Noah, we will see you when you are available.
Okay.
Hopefully
yeah.
sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for being understanding.
Of course.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's it.
Okay. So right. I'll be on standby. Okay, bye.
All right.